It's so wonderful to be here at Walmer Road Baptist Church. We have heard of Walmer Road's in partnership with Matthew House since the beginning. And when I say beginning, I'm talking 26 years. And so we're just very grateful for your support. And there's a lot of history between us. And so, yes, Matthew House, we're an organization, Christian organization, dedicated to welcoming refugees into Toronto with the love of Jesus. And I joined Matthew House because I was a community host, which means my husband and I have refugees living in my house, and we opened that home 3 years ago, for our home for refugees 3 years ago. But before that, I actually didn't know anything about the refugee situation in Toronto. I never paid attention to it in the news. My husband and I both love the poor very much, but we were involved in our own little worlds. I actually spent 17 years helping families in Toronto community housing through an organization called Urban Promise Toronto. And my husband spent 17 years working for Young Street Mission, which is also another Christian organization, but they deal primarily with homelessness. And so I had no idea about refugees. And so then once they came to my house, I started to learn about them. I discovered that they are quite resilient. They never complain. They're hardworking, seriously hardworking people. But I'm not sure if you've heard about this in the news, but the refugees are coming into our country in very large numbers. Okay, so pretty much every month into Canada, we have 15,000 refugees coming in. And when I say 15,000 coming into Canada, if you think of how vast Canada is, like Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, whatever, 15,000 come in, half of them, even more than half, 8,000 come to Toronto. Okay, they come to Ontario, but mostly Toronto. Because when you hear of Canada, you think Toronto. We're one of the landing ports. So never before have we had such a huge influx of refugees. And refugees are people who have crossed an international border because of fear of persecution. They have to show that they're persecuted. Race, this can be race, religion, nationality, member of a political group. And we don't decide who stays, who gets to stay in Canada or who doesn't. That decision is entirely on the IRB, the Immigration and Refugee Board. And not everyone passes it. And if they don't pass that one hearing, then they have to return home. So we don't judge any of that. We just say, hey, there's refugees in Canada. We take care of them. We welcome them into our home. We have 7 homes, and we give them food and shelter. And we have settlement workers that help them find ESL housing, help them navigate the Canadian system. We have law students that have a mock hearing. So we kind of help them prepare for their hearing. But most importantly, Matthew House is named after this passage in Matthew 25. I'm just going to read it to you. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and nations will gather before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put his sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom before you, prepared before you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will say, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And our key passage at Matthew House is, of course, this one, Matthew 25:35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. And that's the basis, simply, of what we do at Matthew House. And I just want to give you an overview of the current situation. The definition of the refugee is people who have fled war, violence, conflict, persecution, and in order to find safety in another country. These are persecuted people, and we're not talking about economic immigration, okay? If they want to come here for a better life, and they say that, they will not pass that hearing that I told you about. Next slide. And so, as a signatory of the Geneva Refugee Convention, Canada must give all refugee claimants that land on our soil the right to remain and have a refugee hearing. And this is the same for Canada, US, UK, many places. That means if you land on our soil, you will not be deported until you have your hearing. So, in other words, refugees are legal. And that's what I want to say, that they are allowed to be here and make a claim. They actually get their work permit quite early, so they are hardworking and they get jobs. And every single year, we are setting new records of how many refugees come in. And so last year, we had 143,000 come in. Now, 2024, we're on track to have 186 million refugees come in. So yeah, if you look at this chart, you can see how many refugees go to different countries. So Turkey has 3.5 million refugees coming in. And at the very bottom, that would be Ethiopia. And they have 750,000 refugees come in. But Canada, we only received 143 last year. And the reason why they don't all come to Canada is simply because no one can walk here. But people can walk to Turkey. And so, but when you think of how vast our country is, like from Nova Scotia all through the provinces, we can do more. We really can. Yeah, as of May this year, there was 120 million forcibly displaced people worldwide. Basically, these are some pictures of our ministry, but I just want to tell you one story of one refugee I met, and this is not his real name, but I'll call him Steve, but he really did come from South Africa, and he was 19 years old when he came, and the wars there were horrific, but somehow he found a way out. He got on a plane and he lands in Ottawa. And the officials there somehow sent him to Canada, 19-year-old guy, alone in Canada. So he spends a few nights here and there at the airport. Someone tries to get him help, and they send him to the Red Cross. Now, what the Red Cross does is, all they did was they gave him a token and a little slip of paper with the address for Matthew House. And so they just send him off his way. He finds his way to Matthew House. And when he knocks on the door, I think whoever opened it took one look at him, didn't even do any intake forms or anything. They literally just put him in the bed and he slept for 20 hours straight. And as our custom, we just give free room and free food for 3 months. That was a while ago. That was over 10 years ago as I was talking to him. So now they stay a lot longer. Back then, you could get housing very easily and be independent very quick. But now housing is very expensive. So he spends 3 months living in Matthew House, and they help him apply for assistance, pass his hearing, and look for his own place. Now, what the government gave him was $500 a month And so he spends $450 on rent, and the remaining $50, he, so that 10 years ago, rent was cheap. The remaining $50 is on food, transportation, clothes, everything else. And so they put him in this one high school that was 1 hour bike ride away. And so every morning he bikes to school for an hour. He's drenched with sweat, and he knows that he needs to work harder than all his classmates. And so after 2 years, he gets into this amazing degree at university in Toronto, and he passes, he goes through UT, and he's, you know, he's doing okay. And this is when I met him just recently, because he had just recently. So now he's 29, but he said it wasn't until a couple of years after he graduated from university, which is very recently, that he finally kind of untensed and knew that he would be okay. And that's just one example of the refugees that we seek to help here at Matthew House. You know, there's so many stories of refugees. I had one more actually, but the one couple came in this summer in July, but they left Africa, Chad, in April. So they went Chad, Spain, Nicaragua, and that whole path of death. You know, that walking, you know, if you see pictures of, if you Google walk of death, they're carrying everything on. So it took 4 months to get to Toronto, you know. So these are stories of refugees. But back to the story I want to talk about in the Bible. The Son of Man is judging all the nations before him, and he separates them as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he says to them that blessed are you, people who are like the sheep, because you took care of me. And then those people represented as sheep, they don't remember serving the Son of Man. Come on, you would remember if you served the Son of God. But then the king says, whatever you did for the least of these brothers, you did for me. And the people who didn't care for them, they were cursed into eternal fire. And now this, of course, makes you wonder, Are we saved by works or by faith? If you look at the whole scripture, you do not become a good, you do become a believer by doing good works. There are so many verses that shows that you are saved by faith alone, not by good works. So, for we maintain a person is justified by faith apart from the works of law. There's so many verses. I'll just read a couple. Next one. He saved us not because of the righteous things we did, but because of his mercy. God's mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Next slide. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So please don't think that you can do things, care for the poor and all this stuff, and you will be saved. The only thing that can save you and I from our sins and our separation from God is if we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins, in place of our sins, and he rose again. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the pure gospel. It is true. It's just that truth, faith, sometimes expresses itself in deeds of righteousness. And then the sheep were surprised at what the king, Son of Man, was saying. He said, what? When did we do this for you? I don't remember. They were truly surprised because they were showing that this shows that they weren't doing good things in order to be saved. They were doing, it was just a natural response to their salvation. They naturally cared about the poor. And there's just too many verses. I'll just show you one more verse. I did not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Jesus would not tell a story about the sheep and the goats where as though salvation could be claimed by works, because he was constantly telling the Pharisees that you could not earn your salvation. Jesus wanted them to look to him instead. But the passage does say that faith and works are very intimately intertwined and connected. And so there's a lot of passage where it says how can you have faith but no deeds? How can you say to your brother and sister who doesn't have food or clothes, you know, go in peace, I don't, but you don't do anything about it? What kind of faith is that? So this stuff was core: feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, caring for the stranger. This stuff is core to Jesus. I didn't bring my Bible today because my Bible is very big. And I am, as I age, my glasses, like I don't even have large print. I have extra large print. So it's a really big Bible. So, but I'm kind of really torn by digital Bibles. I carry a digital Bible with me, but I'm torn by digital Bibles. They're very convenient, but sometimes you can't read around the passages as easily. And so if you were to read around this passage of Matthew 25, you'll see some other stories. And so one, this passage is surrounded by many passages that tells that people were indifferent. So some people just didn't care. They didn't overtly sin. They didn't do anything horrible, but they just did nothing. Matthew 5, 25, 1 to 13, you get the story of the 10 virgins. And they're waiting for, 10 virgins are waiting for the bridegroom. 5 are foolish, 5 are wise. The wise one prepare and have oil ready. The 5 are not prepared and they miss out because they don't have oil for the lamps ready. And so they miss out on the whole wedding. And that is a humongous price to pay for not being ready. They miss out because they weren't prepared at all. The next passage is a parable of the talents. In Matthew 25. And so there's a master and he gives 3 servants money, talents. And he doesn't tell them to do anything. He says, just take care of the money. And 2 of the servants invest it and they take it and they do something really good with the money. And the master says, calls them good and faithful servants. It doesn't matter how much they made, but they just did their job. Okay. But the last servant, he doesn't do anything with the money. In fact, he doesn't do anything wrong. He doesn't even lose a penny, but he just did nothing at all. And the master was very angry with this last servant. He didn't use his talents, his money and his talents wisely. And the master tells that last servant to be thrown out like a worthless servant, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then, so that's the next story. And then finally, we come to this story, the sheep and the goats. And it's not called a parable because it's more a description of God's judgment for the nations. And there's no indication that the goat people mistreated others. They didn't do anything bad to the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the sick person, the naked, the prisoner. They just did nothing. Indifference and inaction. In the 5 foolish virgins, indifference and inaction in the last servant with the 1 talent and didn't do anything about it, and indifference and inaction in people represented as the goats. I don't want this to be you and I. Are there things that we are indifferent about? And we can't act on everything in the world, but sometimes we do need to act and care. And I hate to use scary language, but this is absolutely true. Never before have we seen so many refugees come into Canada. And what comes into Canada is like less than 1% of the displaced people in this whole world. We cannot ignore them. We do not have enough refugee-specific shelters. Actually, there's actually Anne Woolger, who is a friend of Elaine's family for many years. She's been advocating for this, but we actually have no centralized reception system for when refugees come. So if they come into Canada and they get Matthew House, I kind of feel like they get the golden ticket. Not that Matthew House is amazing. There's other refugee homes, but if you can get into a refugee home, you get the golden ticket. You get everything given to you. But most people don't. Most people are just on the streets, homeless, vulnerable to exploitation. So I just want people to know about this and to care about this. And I just want to say two ways that if you wanted to get involved is, one, you can bring a meal and spend time with our residents. So if you want to, just have community. And actually, if you cook a meal and you can if you can do it within $35, we actually will reimburse you the $35. We're looking for volunteers, friends, people that can just put in the effort and spend time. So financially, we can reimburse the meal. We also have Recourse, which is a refugee hearing program. So if it's 100% online. So if you are online in your home and you want to help people prepare for their mock hearing, like their actual hearing, this is a mock hearing. So if you want to prepare for that, you can. It has to be a little bit of a more unsympathetic, more of a colder, more of a left brain person. Like not, you can't have a heartstrings. You have, so like, just so you know, that's the type of person we need for this. If you have are very empathetic and kind, I think you should do the meal instead. Yeah. And so the next one is, if you want, you can donate at matthewhouse.ca, and we do provide everything. Like, refugees come and we don't ask them for anything. So we provide housing. We have 7 houses, and each house has a house mentor that is almost like a house parent. And all the food we prepare for. And next, if you know of anybody that has an extra room in their house, they can be a community host. And that means you open one door, one bedroom, and a refugee can live there. So it could be you or somebody else you know. And it's very easy to do. I feel like we have safeguards and police checks in place. And they're not strangers. They've lived at Matthew House for 6 months. So it's amazing. And so that's another way. And finally, I just want to say, this is just a term. And it is the Latin term, Imago Dei. This is the crux of why I'm sharing this passage, or why I love the poor. It means that all humans are created in the image of God. God created all humans, all things, but humans particularly were set apart and made in the image and likeness of God. And this is the whole of human ethics is grounded in this Imago Dei, that people are valuable, they're of supreme worth, because they have the image of God in them. The world values the rich, the successful, the athlete, the celebrity, but the image of God is in all people. The rich and the poor, the successful and the struggling, the famous one in front of large crowds, but also the one who feels all alone in the world. And for some, the image of God is distorted because of sin. And when you think of how tragedy, the tragedy of human depravity, that is human sin, you can actually contrast it with the beauty of human dignity. And I believe if we call upon Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we will all one day reflect that beauty of human dignity. We will reflect his glory, and his image will be fully restored in us. And that, I believe, is a very good reason for us to love and to meet the needs of the hungry and thirsty and sick around us. We need to care. And the dream, the big dream, is at the end, one day we will hear these beautiful words apply to you and I. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. If we could hear God saying this to us, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. And I was in prison and you came to visit me. Because whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.